Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, January 20th. Today, it's time for our monthly deep dive into Colorado's rich musical tradition with songwriter Kevin Simpson and longtime music reporter G. Brown, whose Colorado Music Experience website maintains a comprehensive collection of information, videos, and recordings of live Colorado shows spanning decades. You can find it all at colomusic.org. Before we begin, the Colorado Sun's inaugural Best of the Colorado Sun is officially open for voting. Vote for your favorite businesses and people across the state now through February 28th. You can cast your vote once per region. Visit coloradosun.com/bestof to vote today. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. The red carpet met frozen dirt streets when Colorado hosted its first royal visitor, Grand Duke Alexei Alexandrovich, the fifth child of Russia's Tsar Alexander II. On a tour through Europe, the Americas, and Japan, Alexei endured countless formal events and flirted with as many women as possible. But the American West offered the Duke a unique opportunity, a bison hunt. He delighted in that adventure for the final time in Cheyenne County on this day in 1872. Bison numbers on the Great Plains declined steadily starting in the early 1700s, with horses and gunpowder weapons easing the hunt for American Indians and Euro-Americans alike. By 1872, although American Indian groups had been forced out of eastern Colorado, small herds of bison remained. Alexei arrived in Denver on the Denver Pacific Railway on January 17th, escorted by Territorial Governor Edward McCook and John Evans. Over the next 2 days, the Russian attended a ball in Denver and a soiree in Golden, and met with crews building the Colorado Central Railroad up Clear Creek toward the mining districts. According to the Rocky Mountain News, quote, "The buffalo were soon reached, when Alexei, in great excitement, plunged into the midst of them in advance of the whole party and shot down the first buffalo, an enormous bull. He immediately dismounted, and General Custer was at his side instantly. The Grand Duke cheered, and in his great delight clasped his arms around General Custer and kissed him. The party hunted in Cheyenne County for 7 hours, with the Duke killing 5 bison before proceeding eastward by rail. Alexei's visit reflected the West's late 19th century status as a place of both romance and exploitation. Before we continue, a quick message. The Colorado Sun presents The Next Food Revolution: Growing Greens in the Air with environment reporter Michael Booth. Join the virtual event on February 9th to hear how a company is using a storage container to grow crops, how CU Boulder is growing greens in a sunroom, and much more. Register for the free event at coloradosun.com/events. Next, our feature story.
Hey there, Colorado, and hello, G. Brown, and thanks for joining us for our first musical conversation of the new year.
Looking forward to it, Kevin. Always good to see you and hear you.
So let's begin by talking about a really exciting show that's coming up locally here. Singer-songwriter and bluegrass prodigy Billy Strings is coming to the First Bank Center in Broomfield for a 3-night run, February 2nd through 4th. And, you know, I know a lot of artists, whether in music or literature or whatever, have talked about the difficulty of enduring the pandemic when creating art of any kind really faced many challenges. And certainly live performances were difficult to pull off. But Billy Strings won an award for Breakthrough Artist of the Pandemic, which strikes me as kind of an amazing accomplishment in addition to his Grammy and a raft of other awards. But this guy's career has really taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I really cherish Billy's place in the music firmament because he values tradition, which in the bluegrass or jamgrass world is really important. It's not like this music he's playing was invented a couple of years ago. This goes back decades, almost centuries at this point. And he covers these artists who deserve the recognition. And I think that's what he's been able to tap into. Music is a fabric. There's not starting and stopping points. It's always evolving. And for him to pay homage to the people that got him there as a musician, I think is fantastic.
And so he also cites a whole list of Colorado-connected influences. Tell us what sets Billy Strings apart from other performers and about some of these influences, many with significant connections to the Telluride Bluegrass Festival.
Well, obviously, he can play like the Dickens. That's why people are attracted to his music. But yes, so many influences, starting all the way back with Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass. There's John Hartford, who was the Pied Piper of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. Back in the 70s, when that festival was launched, it was a bunch of heretics, really. Sam Bush and Newgrass Revival playing traditional bluegrass on electric instruments. That was heresy. They would go to traditional bluegrass festivals and be put on at 1 a.m. when everyone was packing up their folding chairs and leaving. No one wanted anything to do with them, but Telluride gave them the forum to jam and create what became known as a newgrass, if you will. And John Hartford was the Pied Piper of that movement. He was the older guy. He made a little money through the royalties of Gentle on My Mind, the oft-covered country classic. And he put all that into just mentoring all the young musicians, the Billy Strings of their era back in the 70s. There's also Bela Fleck, the aforementioned Sam Bush, all of them. Billy Strings is covering their material. Just a fantastic thread, fantastic legacy. And there are also the Colorado-based bands of the 90s, the nascent jam band scene that Billy Strings honors. String Cheese Incident, Leftover Salmon, Yonder Mountain String Band, all Colorado-based acts that play into that whole legacy of bluegrass, newgrass, jamgrass music.
So his Grammy-winning album is called Home, and now he's touring behind a 16-song collection called Renewal. So let's listen to a couple of clips that showcase Billy Strings' talents covering one of those key Colorado influences, and then maybe juxtapose it to a clip from the original artist. What have you got, G?
Well, one of the standards that Billy Strings covered is Uncle Penn, one of the most famous bluegrass songs. This is what it sounds like.
Oh, the people would come from far away to dance all night to the break of the day when the caller hollered, "Dusty Doug, you want the pin who's ready to go?" Late in the evening, about sundown, on the hill in the middle of town, Uncle Penn played the fiddle, lovely how it rained, you'd hear it talk, you'd hear it sing.
And then here's the original that inspired him, Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys. Father of Bluegrass wrote this about his uncle and musical mentor over 70 years ago.
Oh, the people would come from far away, they danced all night till the break of day, when the caller hollered, "Do-si-do," you knew Uncle Penn was ready to go. Late in the evening, about sundown, on the hill of the town, Uncle Penn played the fiddle, Lord, how it would ring, you could hear it talk, you could hear it sing.
Well, that's great stuff from a freshly minted talent. But, you know, it seems like we're losing more and more great performers from the older world of rock and roll in particular. Most recently, guitarist Jeff Beck, always mentioned among the all-time masters. And, gee, you've interviewed everyone in the business as they've passed through Denver. Tell us a little bit about Jeff Beck and his legacy.
For us of the classic rock generation, the list of names in the Pantheon are obvious. Clapton, Hendrix, Page, and Beck. Jeff was arguably the least appreciated out of all of them because he didn't have the same type of career arc, the one hit that made him a household name or consistent touring or album releases. Some prickly behavior on his part factored in as well in his early days. But the other guys said that he was the best of all of them, without a doubt, and certainly one of the most unique styles in rock history. You hear Jeff Beck play and you know it's him almost immediately. Started out replacing Clapton in the Yardbirds, formed a few groups with players of the day, including Rod Stewart, Jeff Beck Group, made some legendary recordings, and then did his own thing, mentoring a lot of musicians. Jennifer Bratton, a phenomenal female guitarist, he shared the stage with her and was proud to do it. just an amazing musical legacy.
And then a few weeks ago, there was Dino Danelli, the drummer for the Young Rascals, which was an influential band that followed the British invasion of the 1960s. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a band, but Danelli in particular has drawn a lot of high praise. And you've got some strong personal memories about the band as well. Tell us about those.
Well, the Young Rascals, later the Rascals, the late 60s, made some fantastic records. In the wake of the British invasion of the 60s, they were the New York-based American counterpart, the American Beatles, some hype meisters called them, much like the Byrds were called the same on the West Coast. But Dino, fantastic talent, had played with a lot of jazz icons ever since the age of 15, Gene Krupa, for instance. And he combined that precision of jazz playing with the power and the flair of rock and roll. I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1966 performing Good Lovin', and I urge people to track down that link. Dino's behind the drum kit, a little Lord Fauntleroy outfit, but throwing his sticks, drumsticks, between breaks. He said he learned that from his sister, who was a cheerleader in high school, but never seen anything quite like that. I was a young, aspiring drummer, and that made me go look for the Dairy Queen application instead of practice thinking I could ever do anything like that.
So we also recently lost Kim Simmons, the founder of the British band Savoy Brown, which notably has a Denver connection by virtue of a live album they recorded at the Rainbow Music Hall, the late great Rainbow Music Hall in 1981. What do you remember about Kim Simmons?
Savoy Brown was a terrific British blues boogie band, if you will. Never really had a lot of success in terms of radio play in America, but toured their asses off. Pardon my colloquialism there, but on the road constantly. The one interesting sidebar to their career, they had more personnel changes than just about any band. I think Spinal Tap took that was a composite of many bands, but the Savoy Brown revolving door of personnel came from Kim and Savoy Brown. He was the only original member that endured through all the decades. By the time they arrived in Denver in 1981 to record at the Rainbow, they'd already undergone 30 personnel changes. He was the last band standing. Notably, Foghat, the guys in that band, came out of Savoy Brown. That was their detour and went on to a lot of success, much more than Savoy ever got. Anyway, Kim, a great guitar player, and they recorded a live album of their greatest hits to that point and do a fantastic version of Tell Mama that has been archived.
So in keeping with the podcast connection to Colorado music, we're going to play a clip of some virtuoso guitar work from Kim Simmons from Savoy Brown's live performance at the Rainbow.
And if you'd like the written word of how these people impacted the Denver music scene, we have blogs about Jeff Beck and Kim Simmons and a link to Dino Danelli on our Colorado Music Experience website, cullummusic.org.
Okay, G, we've mingled music and sports before when we highlighted last month some Denver Broncos who dabbled in the recording business over the years. But now we're taking that connection to a new level. And who else could I be talking about but Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, the recently hired football coach at CU. Not only did he appear in both the Super Bowl and a World Series, but he also parlayed some close ties to the music business into a mini career, or at least a CD. So tell us a little about Coach Primetime's musical chops, such as they were.
Sanders was a friend of MC Hammer's back in the 90s. Hammer Time, You Can't Touch This. Dion actually danced in one of those early videos. And then, early 1995, released a CD, Primetime, on Hammer's record label, Busted Records. And it didn't do much. It was pretty much savaged critically and just grazed the bottom of the R&B charts. But I think there could be a second life to this music, Kevin, to motivate the team as Coach Prime. Songs like It's On could be played in the locker room to fire the players up, or We Can Roll when Ralphie comes running out onto the field leading the team before a game. I don't know. We're the house of ideas, Kevin, but they never fall.
Okay, well, let's put it out there in the court of public opinion. Hear a clip from It's On by Deion Sanders.
What's up, baby? Hey, you gotta give me a little something my boys from Florida can bounce to, man.
Okay, you get the idea. Now, G, you're a wordsmith by trade, and you admitted to having what you called a never-gonna-happen musical fantasy about next season, when one of CU's early games, I think it's the second game of the season, will be against longtime rival Nebraska. Now, sports fans might remember the legendary defensive lineman that they had, Ndamukong Suh, spelled S-U-H, who was an All-American and actually the number two pick in the NFL draft back in the day. So stick with us here, listeners, because G is going to weave a couple of legendary football names with a real musical icon for us.
You credit me as being a wordsmith, more of a master of bad puns. But my fantasy is that they discover that Ndamukong Suh has some remaining eligibility left, and he is somehow allowed to come back and play for Nebraska in the Buffs home opener next season. And so we would have the opportunity to hear Deion screaming, "Run around, Sue!" Get it, Deion? Run around, Sue?
It took a great mind to come up with that wordplay, and I love it, especially since it gives us an excuse to let Deion DiMucci, who went simply by the stage name Deion, play us off this week with his mega hit, Run Around Sue, which is from way back in 1961. And believe it or not, Deion just released another album at age 83 with help from a who's who of pop and rock stars. So have a great weekend, everyone, and thanks for joining us, G.
Enjoy the song. Sorry, not sorry.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey, whoa.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Three Democratic state lawmakers are preparing to introduce legislation banning so-called assault weapons in Colorado in response to the mass shootings that have plagued the state. but to get the bill into law, they'll need the signature of Governor Jared Polis, who is already signaling that he's not keen on the idea. Polis refused to directly answer questions from the Colorado Sun about his views on the proposal. Democrats in the legislature, who have historic majorities in the Senate and House, are planning to debate a number of gun control measures this year. A Colorado man who says he was repeatedly sexually abused as a teen by his Catholic priest more than 2 decades ago is suing the now defrocked priest and the Archdiocese of Denver. Filed Thursday, the lawsuit takes advantage of a recently passed law that allows victims in Colorado to sue even if the statute of limitations has passed. It is part of a nationwide effort to make it easier for those who were victimized to try to find justice later in life. The Archdiocese said it had not seen the lawsuit yet, but doesn't comment on pending litigation. Parents are signing up their toddlers in droves for the state's expanded preschool program known as Universal Preschool. Close to 12,000 applicants signed up for the program Tuesday, which was the first day parents could enroll their child ahead of the program's start this fall. State officials said the number of applications is a promising sign. They originally projected about 30,000 kids would opt into the state program during its first year, about half the number of kids who will be eligible, but now say those estimates are low. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. Before we go, we encourage you to check out a new podcast from our friends at KUNC called The Colorado Dream. Here's a sneak peek.
The new season of The Colorado Dream explores the Black immigrant experience in Aurora. It's told through the eyes of one African woman.
I would sit on the beach and just daydream about coming to America.
And the city of Aurora that's working to become an inclusive home for all.
In the last 20 years, we have a new face of the city.
I'm Stephanie Daniel. Join me for The Colorado Dream, Newcomers Welcome. You can find the series at KUNC.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of The Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.